I got to let you know real quick before he comes up. His stories about speeding tickets and stuff are not jokes. They're not just embellishments, which are very popular in this industry, by the way. A few years ago, he came out, and he was staying at my house with me, and he's like, "Hey, would you mind, you know, running me down to a car rental place tomorrow morning? You know, like it's 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to rent a car." Obviously, he doesn't realize I don't get up at that time, unless it's hunting season, and I'll get up at that time. I don't get up at that time. I'm like, 5:30 in the morning to go rent a car? He's like, "Yeah, I've got a group or something in Idaho, I think is where he was headed. I gotta get to Idaho to do an enrollment." I was like, "Dude, just take my car." I'm like, "The keys are in the kitchen and the, you know, I'm not gonna tell you guys where they are. You guys steal my car one of these days. The keys are next to my loaded shotgun. Just help yourself." Which is right above the Doberman Pinscher that eats children for breakfast. So that's where I keep the keys. Anyhow, so he gets up way before any of us. He takes my Lexus, and probably like an hour and a half later, so I get a phone call from him. Like an hour and a half from my house, you should be like around the Ogden area. He goes, "I'm on the side of the road. The Idaho Highway Patrol pulled me over. Where is your license and registration?" I'm like, "You left an hour and a half ago. You can't be in Idaho yet." He's like, "I'm here. I need to know where your license, your registration and insurance card is." I'm like, "How on earth did you get pulled over in Idaho? You shouldn't even be within an hour of Idaho yet." But I mean, he was doing like 100 and something miles an hour in my car and got pulled over. So I mean, his stories are real life, genuine, honest to God truth about the speeding tickets that he has. But you know, he's just a good friend, incredibly successful in this business. I'm looking forward to the content that he has. Would you all give it up one more time for Mr. Mike Riches?
Give me 1 second, guys. Here we go. 11-6-2010, and we're good. Okay. I need to clarify some facts on this story that Dave just shared. Before my name gets dragged through the mud here too much, and notice he left before I did this, but here's what happened. I normally do not drive that way, but Mr. Hall was kind enough to loan me his Lexus, which does drive very nicely, by the way, over 100. And you know, it's Idaho. How many of y'all have ever been to Idaho? I mean, it's like, why would you drive under 100 miles an hour in Idaho, in southern Idaho? He gave me his car, but he also showed me how to use his radar detector, and he said, "Man, this radar detector is so cool. It'll always work. I've done like St. George in an hour and a half, and I never get pulled over. This thing's the best radar detector, like $1,000 and all this stuff." And I was like, "Well, awesome." So I had this radar detector on, and man, I was flying, and I did. I got pulled over, and I was shocked because I'm thinking, okay, here's Dave Hall, never gotten a ticket with this radar detector, and he said that. He said, "I've never gotten a ticket with this thing." And I said, so I'm like, just my luck, I get in his car for one day and I get pulled over with this stupid radar detector. And so I was just like shocked. And then I go back and I return his car to his home and I go in there and I'm like, "Dave, I can't believe I got a ticket with your radar detector." He's like, "Man, I get them all the time with my radar detector." I said, "Well, why did you tell me you never got one?" He said, I tell that to everybody. I'm just joking around." I'm like, "Whoa, that wasn't very funny, you know?" And then he proceeded to pull out a book, a 3-ring binder, full of his tickets. And he showed me.
You got that one with the radar detector. Pull that one there. That was with the radar detector.
I'm in a book. Who laminates their tickets? You know what I mean? But anyway. So thanks. I appreciate it. I like this story about being at a party and not knowing anybody. Obviously has a lot of experience with that, right? He knew all the little details. Where are my friends? Well, folks, I want to go over some details this morning on marketing memberships. And how many of you know that we do have a good membership? That this is something that's worth telling other people about. And if you got anything from our briefing, I hope it's that I personally believe in this membership. I hope you believe in this membership. And I'll tell you, you know, tip number one, if you're going to make notes today, tip number one, if you want to sell more memberships, you got to believe in it. You got to believe in what we do. And what's the best way to believe in this membership is go out and use it. I mean, to find ways to use our membership. If you have used our membership in the last 12 months, I want you to stand for a second. Just stand up. If you've used our membership at least one time in the last 12 months, I want you to stay standing, okay? All right? Look around. Most of the room, I would say, has used the membership within the last 12 months. If you have used the membership within the last 6 months, I want you to stay standing. If you have used this membership in the last 6 months, which means if you use it maybe a year ago, you need to go ahead and have a seat. Okay? Last 6 months, stay standing, and that's most people in here. Very good. If you've used this membership in the last 90 days, honestly, in the last 90 days, last 3 months, I want you to stay standing. If you haven't, sit down. I want you to sit down if it was longer than 90 days ago that you used this membership. If you've used the membership in the last 60 days, stay standing. If not, then go ahead and have a seat. Don't feel embarrassed about it. Just go ahead and have a seat. Last 60 days, that's good, that's good. If you have used the membership in the last 30 days, I want you to stay standing. If you haven't, be honest now and go ahead and have a seat. If you have not used the membership in the last 30 days, if you have used the membership this month, in the month of November, which means this week, you made a call into the law firm, I want you to stay standing. If not, go ahead and have a seat. Have a seat. I want you to look around at the number of people that are still standing who have used the membership this week. And give these guys a hand and everybody for participating. Go ahead and have a seat, everybody. If you use the membership today, no, I'm just kidding. No, we won't do that. Saturday. Right. Okay, fair enough. This product that we offer is a very real product. Okay, and there's a lot of companies out there that make a lot of talk and bring a lot of attention because of a compensation plan, because of a marketing plan. And I'll be the first to tell you, Prepaid Legal, we've got a great marketing plan. We've got a great comp plan. And in fact, I believe it November 1st, it just got a lot better. And there were a lot of improvements that are continually made to that comp plan. But what makes our business special and what makes our business run and what makes our business grow is our product. And the reason that we know that is because you get a room of us associates together and I'm amazed every time at the number of people who are using our membership. All right, that's what makes us powerful as a group. That's what makes us powerful as a company is the fact that we actually believe in our membership. And there's a lot of companies out there that they talk a lot about their product, but at the end of the day, nobody's using it. Nobody's really, at the end of the day, saving money or getting value from whatever it is that they provide. We do. And here's why, as associates, we ought to be using this thing. Because I always have said, as a member, it's your privilege to use the membership. But as an associate, it is your responsibility. Which means if you have a situation that pops up where a letter from a law firm could help, as a member, you may or may not use your membership there. As an associate, it's your job. You need to use your membership there. I can't stand talking to an associate. They say, well, I'm dealing with this situation. I always say, well, have your law firm write a letter. Well, I may do that. It may get to that. No. It already did get to that. If you have the situation, it's your responsibility to use the plan. That's where you get testimonials. That's where you get experience. And more importantly, that's where you get belief in what we do. And if you want to be successful like the Ryan Burns, like the George Wilkinsons and Paula Wilkinsons and the Dave Halls of the world, you've got to have that belief, that passion. None of these guys and none of these people that you see on the front row here today got here without having an absolute belief in what we do. And that belief can only come by using that membership that we offer. So there's my number one advice, my number one counsel. If you don't get anything else from what I say today, I definitely want you to get that. I'm going to skip my pictures here since we all, good. All right. I want to talk about knowing your product for a second. And I'll tell you what, at Prepaid Legal, we don't ask you to memorize a lot of things. But one thing I expect of every associate in this business is to know the product that we offer. You need to know the product. And I'm not going to take a ton of time on this because next Saturday you've got the opportunity to get to know this product in great depth at the Advanced Product Training. And you've got a great trainer, Deanne Foster, here in the state of Utah. Give her a huge round of applause for her work that she does. I've learned this. I know personally very well many of the group trainers in the United States, and I'll tell you what, you're very blessed to have someone like Deanne Foster here in your state who not only knows what she's talking about, she's very good at what she does, but she also has the ability to communicate that to other people. And one thing I found is we got some folks around the country that are very good at writing business but not very good at teaching that to other people. And you've got someone who is. And so you need to be grateful for that. And you need to write an email to Harlan Stonecipher and thank him for being in the state and for providing leadership like Mr. Hall and your regional manager and Ms. Foster and people like that to help you grow your business. I mean, that's a great privilege that you have here in this state. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, I do travel quite a bit. I speak at a lot of these types of deals, and I see leadership in different areas, and they're not as good as what you've got here in Utah. So you're very blessed. And next Saturday, you've got the chance to go to what we call the APT, the Advanced Product Training. And of any training in Prepaid Legal, that's one of my favorites because it delves in and teaches this product. And you've got to know the product. And I'm not going to go into all the details today, but I want you to know 3 and 5. And even if you're brand new, if you just started with us today, it's not hard to remember 3 and 5, okay? Three things under the identity theft and 5 things under the legal. So let me talk about those real quick. We'll just review them. Of course, we saw this earlier. Let's see, where did my remote go? There we go. Oops, excuse me. Let me go back here. 3 and 5, and I'll get to that in just a second. I want to show this clip here first. I forgot I inserted this in there. I thought it was after. But the reason I put this clip in there is because sometimes when you get into a lot of the detail on the product, it does get a little overwhelming, right? And I don't want to overwhelm anybody today, and that's not ever the goal in any one of these trainings. But I do want to show you this clip. Some of y'all have seen this before from the movie Bowfinger. And it kind of expressed to me kind of what it feels to be new sometimes. And everybody's telling you, do this and do this and do this. And sometimes they make it sound a little easier than it really is. And so as we talk about the product today, I don't want you to feel like Eddie Murphy feels in this clip. So I'll roll the clip of Bowfinger here. Here we go.
How do you feel?
I feel kind of strange.
No, you look good. You look tough.
I do?
Yeah, like an action star. Look like an action star.
Yeah, the shoulders up, yeah.
Take a good deep breath. Suck it in, that's good. Okay, now look. Now. In this scene, you're hurting inside. You're hurting inside. You're not sure who to trust. You want to run. You want to run into the arms of your beloved.
Hi, I'm Daisy.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? So when I yell action, you are going to run from point A over there to point B over here.
That seems kind of hard.
Well, you know, think of it as an errand. Your errand is to run across the freeway until I yell cut.
I get it. But does that seem a little dangerous, though?
No. We have professional stuntmen doing the driving, so you'll be completely safe.
Oh, professional stuntmen. That's how they do it. I was wondering how they did that. Stunt drivers.
Okay, you ready to do one?
Sure. They're going really fast. Yeesh.
Thank you. It was so good.
I don't want to do this anymore.
What are you talking about?
I don't want to do it. I just want to run errands. Heavenly God.
What are you talking about? Not many people can do what you just did. The stunt drivers were really impressed, weren't they?
Really?
Now guess what? We got an errand we want you to do.
Really?
We want you to go to Starbucks.
Oh, I do.
Get coffee for everybody. A really complicated order.
I would love to just go get some coffee.
And you're the only person who can do it.
Yes, I want to get the coffee now.
Okay, but first, let's do this one more time.
Some of you have seen that before. I'll tell you, I remember my brother when I first got started, he said, you know, and I was calling on companies. I mean, that, you know, some of y'all are nervous about sitting down with one person. I was sitting down with groups of people, and while I was scared to death, I felt just like him, you know, like running across. My brother was like, no, just go out and call on them. Just memorize your presentation. I'm like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. I remember my first presentation that I did. I was in front of 12 people, okay, and this was the spring of 2002, and I was just getting started. 12 people is who I was in front of. I had memorized my script, and I remember my brother told me, he said, if you'll just tape record yourself reading your script, and then listen to it back again, you'll have it memorized. And so I did it, and I did. I really felt that I had my script. Yeah, I could go through the product, and I got in front of those 12 people. And I'm telling you, everything I had memorized left out of my mind. I could not remember one thing. And I took my brochure. I'm pretty sure I had it upside down the whole time and just kind of went through it. Some of y'all have seen bad presentations before. This was worse than anything you've ever seen. I'm not kidding. I mean, it was so bad I wanted to go cancel my own membership when I was done. I'm like, this cannot work. And I remember I did this deal. And it was so bad, I felt so nervous. I was just like him, just scared as I could be. I wanted to give up. And at the end, my brother had said, you know, if you will just close them, if in group memberships, you know, they waive that $10 enrollment fee. And he said, at the end, if you'll tell them to take their pen and scratch out that $10 enrollment fee, then they'll start writing. And I didn't want to close. I was like, at the end, I wanted to run and hide. I wanted to, seriously. But I said, I drove all the way out here to talk to this group of 12 people. I might as well go ahead and take them through and show them how to scratch out the fee. And so I did that. I said, if y'all will take your pen and scratch out the $10 fee. And boy, sure enough, people started writing. And I remember 5 of the 12 people signed up that day. And I was just shocked that they would. I'm like, are you really serious? You know, I did. I wanted to go up to them and be like, I don't even think you should do this. You know, but... But 5 out of 12 people signed up, and that taught me something. It taught me that number one, our membership is real, and you don't really have to be good in presenting it. You don't have to be a great presenter. If sometimes what you have to do is get out of the way. The product is so good, if you'll just simply show it to people, and of course now we have tools and DVDs and things to do that, and back then we didn't have all that stuff. But if you just get out of the way, the product is good enough, it'll sell itself. I mean, I really believe that. Most people will see value in this. And so anyway, I want to keep this simple this morning. 3 and 5 is kind of what I like to remember. The 3 features of the identity theft shield are, again, pretty simple. What's the first thing that you get with the identity theft? A credit report with your score. Sometimes we call that an analysis. But you get your credit report and your score. Very good. What's the second thing? Monitoring. That's exactly right. Credit monitoring. And then what's the third thing again? Restoration. And I like to say identity restoration. That's important because there are some businesses out there that talk about credit restoration, which is a completely different product, a completely different industry, quite frankly, a completely different set of ethics, I think, too. But identity restoration is an important word. When I say the word identity, okay, that jogs in my mind, it jogs my memory of a couple of things. Number one, the 5 common types of identity theft. And I like to tell people about those 5 common types of identity theft. Okay, now, if you don't think you can remember the 5 common types of identity theft, don't say the word 5. Just talk about different types of identity theft. Right? Now, if I ask Ryan Burns, Ryan, you know the 5 common types of identity theft, and what are they? Okay, very good. 5 common types of identity theft. Ryan Burns knows them, right? If I had asked Ryan Burns 3 years ago, Ryan, what are the 5 common types of identity theft? What do you think he would have said?
I think identity theft is...
Now, I mean, you know, he would have known. And my point is, guys, it's okay if you don't know all five. The point that you want to make is it's not just a financial issue. Does that make sense? So if I'm sitting down to do a presentation with somebody, you know, and I was the same way, we all kind of started out that way. Eventually, you show up at enough events and you learn it just because you hear it over and over again. But in the beginning, you don't have to talk about everything. I think one of the mistakes that I made in the beginning is I shared everything that I knew. You know, every time I'd go to a briefing or go to a training, I'd learn more and more information. It's still that way today. I still learn every time I go to an event. And one of the mistakes I made is I wanted to share everything. Well, if you share everything, a 10-minute presentation will become a 20-minute presentation, and then a 30-minute presentation. Eventually, you're talking for an hour and a half, and people are like, wow, you know a lot. You know, and actually, they're not thinking that, but I like to think that they were. But my point is, guys, you don't need to share everything that you know. Keep it very simple. I like to keep things simple. I know you do as well. And then the second thing that jogs my memory of is Kroll. I'll talk about Kroll for a couple minutes, but a few seconds. Tell them a few facts about Kroll. What are some things about Kroll that might be worth sharing? What are some things? Largest risk management firm in the world. Good. What else? What is it? Okay. Very good. Good. In business almost 40 years, right? Started in 1972. So over 30 years, that's right. Okay. Very good. Good. Okay. Very good. Good. What else? Okay, that licensed investigators. That's good. That's good. Yes. Okay, they help with the World Trade Center security. That's exactly right. Now, these are all great facts. You don't need to share all these great facts. Share one or two. I mean, what you're trying to do here is just show that Kroll's a great company, right? And again, it's kind of like prepaid legal. You don't have to talk about them too much. You can go and research Kroll. What's the website for Kroll that we would give out if someone wanted to research Kroll, by the way? KrollFraudSolutions.com is the division of fraud solutions that we work with, and a great website to give out if someone wants to know more about Kroll. That's very good. Kroll.com is their corporate site, and that's another great site. They have a lot of different divisions, and that fraud solutions division is the one that we work with. So that's three and five. So three is the identity theft. Here's the five. You ready? If you'll just remember three and five. Three, identity theft. One, two, three. And then on the legal plan, let me give you some advice. There's a lot of different features of the plan. One thing I did a while back and I got good at was talking about the five parts of the legal plan that our members use the most. So these are the five most commonly used features of the legal plan. Now that's important because it's not the five that save you the most money. It's not the five that are the greatest value. And the truth is, you're not going to see me talk about lawsuit protection up here. But if someone got in a lawsuit and got 75 hours of time their first year, that's worth more than one phone call, right? But it's not the most commonly used. So these five features are the five most commonly used features of the legal plan. And instead of trying to memorize every little thing, if you can remember five, if you can remember three on the identity theft, five on the legal plan. And here we go. Number one, telephone consultation. We talked about that during the briefing. What does that mean? That means anytime you have a question, you can call and talk to an attorney about that question and get advice and consultation. Number two, letters and phone calls. Right? You get treated unfairly, you can have a letter written on your behalf. Number three, contract and document review. Right? We talked about these during the briefing. Number four is will preparation. And number five, the moving traffic violations. Those are the five that our members use the most. If you go through that brochure that we have for the legal plan, you're going to find a lot of information. And there's a lot of great parts of our plan that are not on the screen right now. But these are the five that our members use the most. And if someone does not see value in paying $35 a month for these five things, they're not going to see value in the other stuff if you talk about it, okay? This is what sells people because this is what people use the most. And so I kind of got away from trying to memorize. I just said, okay, three and five. If I can remember three things on the identity theft and five things on the legal, then that's enough for me to go out and do a presentation with. Does that make sense? And I hope that that helps make it a little easier to try to know the product that we're offering. Of course, there's other features of the plan, the tragic accident defense, trial defense, the IRS audit legal services, the 25% discount. There's other stuff that we haven't even talked about there. But the fact is, guys, those three and five are the ones that our members use the most. and that I believe sell our membership in the most effective way, I should say. Fair enough? You with me? Okay. So let's talk about then five keys to selling more memberships, because we brought our top producers, and I want to congratulate again our top producers and some great people on the list. Our number one producer from St. George, which is excusable. So we recognize them, and I'll tell you what, it is fun to recognize our top producers. But I believe that if we were really doing our best at Prepaid Legal, everyone in this room could be on that list, and maybe not in the top eight because there's more than eight people here. But if you took the production of those top eight producers, and Mr. Hall did not read the numbers, which is fine, but if you took however many memberships that number eight producer wrote, and I don't know what that is, 10, 50, 100, I don't know, but whatever it is, I believe everybody in this room right now should be doing more than that. And so should be doing enough to have been recognized today. And if we're not, it's either one, we don't believe enough in this membership, or two, we're just not doing enough to go out and market them. And I believe this very strongly, that our membership is one that doesn't always have to be tied to a business opportunity. And so if all the memberships that you're marketing are people that are joining the business, I think you're missing out. And it's not that I think that you shouldn't be recruiting, because I think that you should be recruiting. I think that's a good thing. But if you're really convinced this membership is good, you will find people that are not interested in the business opportunity but will buy this membership, okay? And it simply has to do with activity. It has to do with getting out and talking to more people. So let me talk about the five keys to selling more membership. Number one, key number one, develop a great presentation. Now, I'm not saying that if you first get started, your first day or your first week, you need to have a blockbuster presentation. What I am saying is that I hope everybody in this room is committed to your future and to your success enough that you'll take time to develop a good presentation. Ryan Burns can do a phenomenal presentation. Dave Hall can do a phenomenal presentation. Okay? At some level, they're not doing a good presentation because they're earning $100,000 a year. At some level, they probably became a ringleader because at some point they figured out how to do a good presentation. They figured out how to communicate the value of our membership to people. Okay? And I say that, we like to talk a lot about how you just kind of stumble upon success, and there is a lot of that in our business because of tools and things that we have. But at the end of the day, if you really want to become a ring earner, you need to dedicate yourself to learning a good presentation. You need to figure out how to talk to people about our membership. I don't know of any ring earner out there who is not able to do that. You know, I saw Mr. Mark Brown do a presentation in Dallas, and I remember talking to my brother afterwards, and I said, you know, Mark Brown really did a good presentation. And I liked my brother's answer. He said he should. He's been doing this for 15 years, right? Like, after 15 years, doesn't matter who you are, you ought to be able to do a good presentation after 15 years of doing something. And that kind of stuck with me. I thought, you know, that really ought to be a goal for everybody, to be able to sit down and tell somebody about a membership and to do it effectively. And so here's some tips on doing a good presentation, okay? Tip number one. I love the If You Were My Attorney story. It's one of those things that works so well that we stopped doing it for a while. And I'll tell you what, if we could bring one thing back, and Dave, I know you'd agree with this, and George, those of you guys that have been with us for a while, you know, you remember back in the days of Prepaid Legal in the 90s and stuff, we always used this If You Were My Attorney story. And you know, we kind of got away from that. The If You Were My Attorney story basically is when you sit down with a prospect and have them pretend for a minute that they're an attorney. And you ask him, if you were an attorney charging $300 an hour, how much would you charge me to give me the kind of access that I'm going to talk to you about? How much would you charge me, Ryan, if you were an attorney charging $300 an hour, to be able to call you anytime that I wanted, to be able to write letters on my behalf, to review contracts on my behalf, to write me a will to protect my family, to fight any speeding tickets that I get in all 50 states? If you were a $300 an hour attorney, Ryan Burns, how much would you charge me per month on a monthly basis to have that kind of access? And what would your answer be? Okay, $500 to $1,000. Good. You know what? It's great. I've done that story a lot. I have used that story with a lot of different prospects. I've gotten all kinds of different answers. Some people say $500. Some people say $1,000. Some people say $5,000. Some people say $50,000. Doesn't matter. Here's the thing. As long as their answer is more than $35, you win, right? That's the truth. It doesn't matter what they say. You'll always be able to show them a value. And I like that because that's exactly what that story does. It shows value in our membership. See, you're basically asking them to name a price. And if they say $500 and then you say we can offer that for $35, then they immediately will see value in what you're doing. Does that make sense? How many of you have heard that If You're My Attorney story before? Good. I hope we're using that, okay? I hope that we can incorporate that more into what we do. It's a great way to build value in our membership. Here's another tip on developing a great presentation. You got to make it personal. See, if I sit down one-on-one with Ryan Burns, before I ever open a brochure, before I take out a DVD, before I do anything, you know what I'm going to do with Ryan? I'm going to ask him some questions. I'm going to find out some things about his family. I'm going to find out, you know, how old, maybe not ask him how old he is directly, but I'm going to look at how old he might be. I'm going to ask him about his hobbies and different things. And you know why I'm going to do that? Because I'm going to make my presentation a little personalized for him. If Ryan Burns is 23 years old, okay, then I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about wills and things of that nature. If he's a single guy, doesn't have any children, a will is important, but it's not the same as if he were 35 years old and he has two children and he's married. There I'm going to focus more on a will. With a 23-year-old, what do you think I might spend some time on? Yeah, tickets. That's exactly right. I know when I was 23, if it was nothing but $35 a month for speeding ticket representation, I'd have bought it. I'd have bought it in a heartbeat and been happy to pay that. Does that make sense? So I'm going to find out a little bit about what he likes to do. I'm going to find out about his occupation is another one. What does he do? Are there some risks there that he might face a lawsuit in? See, a good presentation isn't always the same presentation. There are some parts of what we say that don't change. But the truth is, every person I sit down in front of is different. So every presentation I do is going to be a little different. I'm going to focus on certain parts of the membership more with some people than I will with other people. Does that make sense? All right. Here's another tip for you. You've got to make it emotional. And let me spend a little time on this. Jot this down in your notes. 20% of the people that buy this membership will buy it because of the financial sense that it makes, because it makes financial sense. 20% of people. In other words, they're making a fiscal decision. They're buying this because they understand the logic that $35 a month is worth what we offer. Does that make sense? 80% of people that buy this plan buy it because of how they feel when they hear this presentation. That's an important thing to understand. That's why when you hear someone do a business briefing, like I just did, or like a Dave Hall or Ryan Burns do a business briefing, we'll spend time in both areas. Because we know that out in the crowd, there's 20% of people that are trying to make a fiscal decision, but 80% of people are acting based on how they feel. Are you with me? So here's how you got to focus on financial things, okay? Or on emotional things, rather. Number one, focus on the parts of our membership that bring out emotion. And so if you are talking to a father or a mother, what part of the membership you think might bring in some emotion? Yeah, that will, right? Talk about that. Don't be afraid to say, that was important to me. Because when I learned that the state would have control over my child, I did not want that to happen. I like Ryan Crothers did a training, and maybe let me just repeat what he did that I thought was very effective, and I don't remember, maybe it was in the Oklahoma City convention that he did this. But he drew this, and then he asked the question. And I'll pose this question to you, and I'm looking for one-word answers here. Okay? With this membership, how do you feel knowing that you have this plan? Mike, how does this membership make you feel? Give me one word. Secure. Okay, very good. What else? How does it make you feel? Comfortable. Good. Wow, that's a great word. Empowered. Wow, I like that. I didn't hear that? Okay, one word. That's not one word. I'm just kidding. Did she just call me fat? Is that... Did I hear safe? Good. Okay, safe. Good. I like that. What else? Strong. Ooh, that's good. Strong. Peaceful, I heard. Stress-free is hyphenated. We'll count that, okay? But I'm out of space. Okay, now, and I like what Brian Crothers did on this. Let's say, for example, that Mr. Harlan Stonecipher calls you up today and says, we are so sorry, but we are canceling your membership. We're not doing it to anybody else in the company, but we're canceling your membership. You no longer have this coverage. How do you feel? I heard vulnerable. What else? Sad, okay. Mad, fair enough. Panicked, whoa, that's good.
Unhappy.
Cheated. Paranormal? Oh, paranoid, okay. Insecure. We got vulnerable. We got the V word. All right. Scared. I heard angry. Good. This makes the point. I like what Brian Crothers said. He said, you got to understand, when you're marketing memberships, this right here is what you're marketing. And the sooner you and I figure that out, the more memberships we're going to market. So you are marketing a feeling to people. Now, I know I said one word. We could also throw peace of mind up there, right? Here's my point. When you and I do a presentation, how many of these, what I call emotion words, are we using in our presentation? And here's a good way to know. Record yourself doing a presentation. Now, some of you say, well, how am I going to record myself? Let me tell you, one of the best investments that you can make in this business, go down to Walmart or Best Buy or Circuit City went bankrupt, but another company, and you can buy a little digital recorder, okay? And I'll just give you a tip on this. If you're going to buy a digital recorder, go ahead and spend the $5 or $10 and buy one that has a USB connection that you can dump the files onto your computer so you can save them. That's a great investment. How many of you have a digital recorder right now? Okay, good. The rest of you, go buy one. I mean, it is worth the $35 or $40 to go out and buy that. That's a smart investment to make. When you buy that, record yourself doing a presentation. Just record it, and actually record yourself doing a few of them. And then go back and count how many of these words are you using when you sit down and you talk about the membership. So I challenged my team to do that, and it was amazing how many people on our team were not using emotion words in their presentation. See, they were focusing so much on how this made fiscal sense, financial sense, that they were forgetting to use some of these emotion words. And it was great that they were talking to the 20% of people that buy it based on that, but they were ignoring the 80%. And so we went back and we focused on using some of these words, right? Using statements like, this membership will make you feel safe. This membership makes me feel secure. I cannot tell you how vulnerable I felt until I had this membership. See, this membership gave me peace of mind. So use some of those words, and you can use them right as you're going through the thing, right? Through your presentation. You can say, you can get a credit report so you can know where you stand today. I can't tell you how safe that makes me feel to know where I stand today. See, they're going to monitor your credit 24 hours a day. Can I tell you the peace of mind that gives me to know that they're watching out for me 24 hours a day? I love that feeling. And don't be afraid to use the negative side as well, because it's not just the positive side, right? When you're sharing a story, for example, you can use some of those words, angry, I was mad, I was sad, right? Those are very powerful words as well. So don't be afraid to use some of those things. I realized how vulnerable I was, but then I remember that I had this plan. See, sometimes you add one or two little lines that brings in some of the emotion, and it helps people make a smart decision. Fair enough? Okay, good. So let's move on. So making emotional is another tip on having a good presentation. And then finally, don't forget to close. I went to a group school when I first got started in Ada, Oklahoma, and Wilburn Smith came in and he talked about closing. And this is a guy that has sold thousands and thousands of memberships. I don't know why we don't recognize Wilburn more. I like Wilburn a lot. It's funny. We don't recognize him as the top income earner, but he is. I mean, like Dave Seville is great. $1.7 million a year. Wilburn's 2.4 million a year, you know. And I asked Wilburn, I was driving him somewhere one time, and I said, why don't they recognize you as the top income earner? You make more than Dave Savulin. He smiled. He said, well, Dave really likes that title, so I'll let him have it. When Dave Savula comes here to speak, don't ask him about that story, okay? So, anyway. But Wilburn talked about, and he shared this tip with me, and I thought this was great. He said, when you're doing a membership, don't ever be afraid to ask for the sale. See, at the end of your presentation, sometimes that's where we get nervous, because people usually won't give you a lot of rejection if you're just doing a presentation. If you say, hey, can I tell you about this? Most people say yes. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, and when you get down to the point where you say, hey, it's time to sign up, that's when you're going to get some rejection. That's when some people are going to say no. And sometimes we're so afraid of that rejection that we don't want to close. So this is the question that I like to use. What address do you want your membership kit sent to? That's a good question to memorize right there. If I'm doing a presentation to Dave and I'm telling him about the plan, I'll get to the end. And by the way, if I'm doing a one-on-one, just so you know, I like to have the membership form out the whole time I'm talking. That's just my tip for you. Some of you might feel differently on that, but I like to have that thing out the whole time I'm talking. Here's why. I don't want to bring it out and make it an awkward thing. I want to have that thing on the table. And I'm going to look down. I'm going to grab my pen. I'm going to look down at the membership form. I'm going to ask, Dave, what address do you want your membership kit sent to? And I'm going to look down and have my pen ready to write. Okay? Now, that's kind of a strong and assumptive close. But guess what? It works. It's effective. You know what's amazing to me after all these years? If you ask someone what address you want them to have their membership kit sent to, you'd be amazed how many people give you their address, right? I mean, it's very simple. Now, let's practice that. Dave, what address do you want your membership kit sent to? 97. Boom, boom, boom. Starts writing. Now, don't forget to write when they start giving you their address, right? I forgot that my first time. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to do something, right? So, I like that. Now, notice I start with their address. I don't necessarily like to start with their social, because that's kind of a personal question. This is more of an information question. You know, that's kind of an important thing to know. Yet, I don't want to insult anybody at the home office. If I was designing the membership application, I would design it very differently. I would not put the social up top, right? And that's okay. I mean, a lot of those 800 people are great people that have never sold a membership. But they, but the fact is, if you're doing a one-on-one, you have control over that, right? Here's why. You can ask for whatever you want first. And so I'll ask for the address, and then I'll maybe go to their name, and then maybe get down to their date of birth, and then their phone number and email, and I'll go up and get their social and stuff. But it's okay, because I have control over it, right? Now, that's another tip. If I'm doing a one-on-one, I personally like to fill that out myself, okay? And again, some people may feel differently, and if you're passionate about letting them fill it out, that's fine. I don't care. But me, I like filling it out myself. I personally, here's why. Because I know that form better than they do. And so sometimes you hand them a big membership form, and it's kind of overwhelming, and that's when people start saying, well, you know, let me think about this or whatever. If I'm filling out their form, number one, I want it filled out, so I'm going to just write down the information. But number two, I'm used to it. I know where things are, so I can kind of work myself around that form. Fair enough? Okay? So that's a good little closing question. Don't be afraid to ask it. When you get to the end, yeah, what address do you want your membership kit sent to? That's it. Boom. Pen down, ready to write. And I like to start writing, and you'd be amazed at how many people start giving you their information. Is that helpful on developing a good presentation? Okay, good. Here's my second tip for you. The second key in marketing more memberships, you got to help people get from point A to point B. And point B stands for buy, where they're ready to buy this. Point A is wherever they're at when you first sit down with them. And people are at different points. Some people say, I'm not going to be interested. Some people, I'm very interested. It doesn't matter. Point A is where they're at when you first sit down. Point B is where they're ready to sign up. Your job is to get them from point A to point B. Now that means something. That means that you've got to help them understand the same things that you had to understand when you first bought your membership. And for me, that was hard when I first got started, because I just kind of took for granted that I knew some things that I knew. I took for granted that I understood certain things, and I thought that other people would understand them too. I had to slow down, kind of take a few steps back and say, okay, how did I buy this membership, right? What did I see in it? What was said to me so that I saw the value? And I realized that's the same stuff that I had to help other people understand as well. Here's some tips on getting from point A to point B. Here's a great phrase for you. Three words. Change your business. What that means. See, if you're going to get one thing today, learn these three words. This is a great transitional phrase. Okay, what I mean by transitional phrase. A lot of times we'll sit there talking about the features of the plan. Understand, nobody buys anything because of features, right? In car sales, they talk to you about features versus benefits. If you're selling cars, they tell you, don't ever talk about the features of the car. Talk about the benefits of the car, right? It's not that it has power windows, power locks, a V6, 385. That stuff's features. The benefits is, what does that do for you? So, in other words, features is kind of what it is, benefits is what it does. So, V6, 385, whatever. That's the features. The benefit is when you hit the gas, your head hits the seat. It's got power to it, right? It's how you feel when you're driving it. And so that's why when you go buy a car, you'll notice if you got a good car salesman, he or she won't sit there telling you all about the features. They'll tell you about the benefits, right? What it's going to do for you. Same thing in this membership. You're sitting there telling people about unlimited telephone consultation. That does not mean anything to a new person. To a person that doesn't know what our membership is, the words unlimited telephone consultation are pointless. They mean something to you and I because we know what it means. That's what I'm saying though. You got to take a step back and realize someone helped you at some point understand what that phrase unlimited telephone consultation means. Letters and phone calls doesn't mean anything to people. So I use these three words right here. I'll say, Paula, we provide unlimited telephone consultation. What that means is anytime you have a legal question, you can pick up the phone and speak to an attorney, right? Dave, we provide letters and phone calls. What that means is if you get in a situation where you've not been treated fairly, you can have an attorney write a letter on your behalf. People take you more seriously. Does that make sense? That what that means is, and let people know. Here's another one. We talk about S&S a lot, stories and scenarios. Now, this is important. This is in helping people get from point A to point B. I recommend sharing some good stories and some good scenarios. Scenarios are you understand the difference. Stories is actually something that did happen. A scenario is something that could happen, right? Now, here's the thing. You got to make them realistic if you're going to talk about a scenario. So don't talk about if you're ever on a rocket ship to the moon. You got to make it something that they're actually going to be dealing with. With your stories and scenarios, here's a couple pointers for you. Number one, keep it short, relevant, and powerful. What do I mean by short? I love coming to Utah because when we have our success stories, they're so perfectly rehearsed. And some of you might just be getting started with us. You might not realize that. Go to another market where they're not rehearsed, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? When these guys came up and they shared their stories, they were perfect. They were short. None of them took over 25 seconds to share. Did you notice that? You might not have noticed that, but I'm telling you, those were perfect. You go to some of these markets, and they'll share these stories, and I mean, we're talking 4-5 minutes go on, and they're giving you all the details and stuff. I've heard people share membership stories, and they're good stories, but they're just long. I mean, all these details that don't matter. One of my favorite stories is a Brian Fahili, a good friend of mine that bought this membership 6.5 years ago. I shared this on Thursday night with you. He bought this membership at the time, didn't realize how much he was going to use it. He liked the idea of getting the free will, but he signed up for it for that. 4 days after he signed up for it, he got a knock on his door, and it was a sheriff's deputy serving him with foreclosure papers on his home. And some of you remember this from Thursday night. What Brian did, he called me, and he was all upset. And I told him, Brian, call your law firm. See what they can do to help you. He got the attorney on the phone, and the attorney told him, he said, Mr. Fahili, I need you to do two things for me. He said, number one, I need you to take all that documentation that the bank has sent you, and I need you to overnight it to me. And he said, number two, I need you to go home and tell your wife everything's going to be okay, because help is here. And you have to know my friend Brian, he's kind of funny. He said, brother, I'll do the one, I'll send you that stuff, but I'm not about to tell that crazy woman I'm married to a dang thing until I know it to be true, because if I'm lying, she will kill me. Anyway, long story short, he took that information and sent it to the law firm. 10 days later, he got a call back from the bank's legal department. And they said, Mr. Fahili, we've been in contact with your law firm, and we've decided to go ahead and reinstate your home and let you work out the differences. And that was 6.5 years ago. He's still in that house today because he hasn't been heard. That's it. Now, that's a story that I share whenever I do a membership presentation. I would say probably 90% of the membership presentations I do, I share that. I mean, it's a good, effective story. That story takes about 60 seconds to share. It's a little longer than we normally would like. Normally, we like to keep them around 30 seconds, maybe 45. But let me tell you something right now. I've shared that story with other people, and they've shared that story, and I've heard that story go from 60 seconds to 2 minutes to 4 minutes to 5 minutes. Before long, you know what Brian was wearing that day that the sheriff, pulled up. You know what his kids were doing. Like when he called the attorney's name and kind of how long he had been practicing law and what his specialty was. And you kind of see where this is going. What you've got to learn to do when you're sharing a story is kind of be like a Hollywood editor, right? Hollywood editors are paid a lot of money to take a lot of footage. And when I say footage, they might have, hundreds of hours of raw footage that they've got to edit down into a 90-minute show, right? And there's different stages of that. They get it down to about 3 hours and then 2.5 hours. That's usually like your director's cut where they take, and then they take more stuff out and they get down to about a 90-minute movie on average that they share. And that's what the public gets. And let me tell you something right now. Those editors never appear on the screen, but they make a lot of money because they're very good at what they do. You and I have to be like those editors, and we'll make a lot of money with that too. The fact that we can take a story and edit it down to the points that matter to what we're talking about. Fair enough? I like what Winston Churchill, he said once. He said, if you want me to speak for an hour, I can start right now. Right? Or no, he said, I messed that up. He said, if you want me to speak for 30 minutes, I'll need 6 months to prepare, but if you want me to speak for an hour, I can start right now. Meaning, if you want me to speak for 30, in other words, if you want it to be rehearsed, I'll need time. But if you want me just to ramble, kind of like what I'm doing right now, if you want me just to ramble, then I can start, and I can do it at any time. And the point of that is sometimes you need to rehearse stuff a little bit. You need to get a story down, practice it on other people, share it with other people. Call whoever's training you in this business, right? The person that sponsored you or maybe an executive director on your team and say, hey, can I practice this story on you? They'll help you get it edited down. They'll share with you. That doesn't matter. Now, on that note right there, don't be afraid ever to ask for help on any of this stuff. And don't be afraid to go to someone like a Dave Hall or a Ryan Burns or don't necessarily everybody go to Dave Hall and Ryan Burns, but go to someone and like an executive director or a director in your team, someone that's helping you, and say, hey, can I do a presentation for you? Practice a little bit. And then don't be afraid to take their advice too, right? And that's the other thing I hate most is when someone says, hey, will you help me? And then I'll start giving them advice. They start arguing with me. It's like, okay, well, I stop. I'm like, well, you're exactly right. You're 100% on. And send them on their way. I can't stand it when someone starts fighting back. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, don't ask for help and then don't take it, you know? Some of you all know exactly what I mean. But anyway, here's another point. Encourage participation. And so, in group we do this a lot. But I'm going to tell you, when you're sitting down in a one-on-one, there are some points where you can really ask some questions and get some good participation. The two questions that I like to ask that are safe questions when I'm doing a membership presentation, and I'll give these to you real quick. Number one, why would you want an attorney to review a contract before you sign it? That's a good question. I'll repeat that. Why would you want an attorney to review a contract before you sign it? The second question is, why would you want a ticket not to go on your record? Two safe questions right there. Why would you want an attorney to review a contract before you sign it? You know why they're safe questions? Because you'll never get a wrong answer. You'll never get an answer that's outside the realm of what you want. Right? And it's pretty cool. Whatever the answer is, here's your response. You're exactly right. Because it's always right. Ryan, why would you want an attorney to review a contract before you sign it? That's exactly right. You don't want to get locked into something you don't want to get locked into. That's right. Dave, why would you want an attorney to review a contract before you sign it? Okay, that's exactly right, because you don't read Latin. That's good. Mark, why would you want an attorney to review a contract before you sign it? Okay, to make sure you're covered. That's exactly right. Leslie, why would you want an attorney to review a contract before you sign it? That's exactly right, right? Why would you want an attorney to review a contract? That's exactly right. What? You get my point. It doesn't matter what they say. They're always right with those two questions. Those are safe questions. Now, I say that. There are some people that start asking questions that are not safe, right? And you'll learn that. Like I asked one time, I said, this was in front of a group. I said, now, who can tell me, why would you want a will done? And the first person raised their hand and said, you don't need a will. I said, well, now, yes, you do. Now I was fighting with them. No, you don't. I went to law school and all this kind of stuff. Here's the point. With those two questions, you'll never get any of that. They're always going to have a safe answer, you know, that's going to be right in the realm of what you're looking for. Fair enough? All right. Why would you want a ticket not to go on your record? Joe, why would you want a ticket not to go on your record? So you can keep your job. Very good. Why would you want a ticket not to go on your record? That's exactly right. Mike, why would you want a ticket not to go on your record? Okay, that's exactly right. Matthew, why would you want a ticket not to go on your record? That's exactly right. Why would you want to take it? You get my point. It's always right. There's never a wrong answer on that. That's the cool part. They're safe questions. All right. So, number three. Here's my third key for you. You got to overcome objections. Okay? And I believe strongly in this, and I'm going to share some good tips with you on overcoming objections. Let me share with you, first of all, the top five membership objections that you're going to face. Okay? And then we'll talk about how to overcome these. Number one, I don't really use attorneys a whole lot. How many of you ever heard that one before, right? You've been doing presentations. I don't really use attorneys a whole lot. I don't think I need this program. Number two, my brother's a lawyer, or my sister, my brother-in-law, my cousin's an attorney. Well, I don't need this. I got an attorney in the family. All my family's an attorney. Have you ever heard that one? All my family's. I want to say, what happened to you? Anyway. Let me talk this over with my spouse. Let me think about this. That's another common one that we face quite a bit. Number four, do I have to give you my Social Security number? Anybody ever get that one? Ooh. Number five, this sounds way too good to be true. All right, let's talk about these. I'll give you a second here to write those down. Here's a good one for your notes. Whenever you overcome an objection, it's always better to overcome that objection before it comes up. And that's such an important thing to understand. See, if you wait for someone to bring an objection to you and then you try to overcome it, you risk being argumentative, which is not good. But if you can overcome an objection before someone brings it up, you're not being argumentative. And you can be as strong as you want to be. Let me explain. Take that top one, for example. I don't really ever use an attorney. I like to overcome that one before I ever start, guys. Before I ever get into a brochure or a membership presentation, I like to say to somebody, you know what? A lot of people think that they don't need this plan because they don't use attorney. A lot of people think that when they hear attorney, that's for people who get in trouble. Well, what I've learned, this is a good phrase, what I've learned in the time that I've had this membership, what I've learned in the time that I've had this membership is that if you're paying full price for an attorney, you don't use them. But if they're free, you use them a lot more. What I've learned in the time that I've had this membership is that if you're paying full price for an attorney, you don't use them. But if they're free, you'd be amazed how much you start using them. What I've learned in the time that I've had this membership is that if you're paying full price for an attorney, you don't use them. But if they're free, you'll use them all the time. Or you'll be amazed how much you start using them. Amazed is an emotion word, right? That's good. Bring it in. There you go. That's a good way to overcome that. That little objection right there. And I like to, when I say full price, maybe say $300 an hour, right? Give them a number on that. That's a good way to overcome that. Number two, my brother's an attorney. You know where I like to overcome that one is when I get into the consultation. I talk a little bit about the law firm, and I say, we have attorneys that specialize in every area of law. And here's a great tip on overcoming objections. You use a third party, like some unknown person. You say, someone said the other day, right? And you're pretty safe in saying that because people say stuff all the time. So someone said the other day, I don't need this because my brother's an attorney. Someone said the other day, I don't need this because my brother's an attorney. And I just told that person, well, that's fine, but your brother only specializes in one area of law. We have attorneys that specialize in every area of law. That's why you'd want this plan. See, by using that imaginary third-party person, you can be strong on it, right? If someone said to me, my brother's an attorney, I wouldn't actually say to them, yeah, but your brother only specializes in one area of law. We have attorneys that specialize in every area of law. Because now I'm being kind of argumentative. You get that? But with an imaginary third-party person, you can be as strong as you want. That's what I mean by that. You with me? So I like to kind of use that to overcome that. Number three, let me talk with my spouse. Let me think about this. So this is a big one. Where I like to overcome this personally is in the will. When I'm talking about the will, and I make this statement, I say, that's why when I bought this, I didn't have to talk to my spouse about it. I knew she was not going to be mad at me by spending a few dollars to protect my family. I knew my spouse wouldn't be mad at me for spending a few dollars to protect my family. That's why I didn't even have to talk to her about this. You could even take it one step farther. My wife and I talk about everything, but I didn't ask her about this. I knew she wasn't going to be mad at me for spending a few dollars to protect my family. I like it when I'm in a presentation with a female, right, that might bring up that objection. Because a great response with a female is, my wife and I have one rule, right, or two rules when we buy things. Before I buy anything, I talk to her. And before she buys anything, she talks to her. Right? That's a good little, overcoming that. All right. Do I have to give you my Social Security number? Anybody ever hear this? Now this is a common one because, you know, we'll sit there and we'll basically scare the crap out of people on identity theft. And we'll say, now, give me all your information. Right? And so it is kind of a natural thing. And I've kind of learned to overcome this a couple of different ways. Number one, I'll beat them to the punch, right? If I'm getting somebody's information, I'll say, now, what's your social? And I told you before, you start with their address and different things, and then you kind of move to their social. By that point, they're in the mode of giving information. But if I've got someone that's acting a little bit skeptical, I'll say, now, what's your social? And no, I'm not going to steal your identity with it, right? I'll kind of beat them to the punch, joke around a little bit with them. That tends to calm them down a little bit. Another thing I like to do in a group is I'll take my form out and I'll say, and I just noticed the other day where they just made this a little security feature on the yellow copy, which is the one that we keep. When you write your social, it does not bleed through on that yellow copy. And I'll hold it up. I say, isn't that kind of cool? You know, like, wow, I've never seen that before. But it's kind of funny. You'll be amazed when you say that kind of stuff, how many people will write their social to then look at it, right? But it's true. It happens. And it is. Now, I will say this. If you're using old applications, don't say that. It's not effective, right? I made that mistake one time. I was using apps from 1994, you know, and I said, it doesn't bleed through the yellow. Yes, it does. I'm like, well, it shouldn't. You know, that did not look very good. This sounds too good to be true. Let's cover that one real quick, guys. How do you overcome this in a membership presentation? Well, I'll tell you something right now. This is probably the objection that is voiced the least but felt the most. And especially if you use like the "if you're my attorney" story, where you get it in their mind that this is thousands of dollars and then you say it's $35. You got to realize they may not say it, but they're thinking, what's the catch? This sounds way too good to be true. So you got to overcome that. And a great way to overcome it is by saying, see, a lot of people think this sounds too good to be true. You've heard of the feel, felt, found method. Right? You know, someone says an objection. I understand how you feel. Other people have felt the same way. What we found is that kind of stuff. I'll tell you, I like repeating exactly what they may be thinking. Right? They're thinking this is too good to be. I say a lot of people think this sounds too good to be true. What they don't realize, and this is a good way to overcome this, is our law firm, the Smart Law Firm, does not care what we pay. What they care is what Prepaid Legal pays them. And see, what we found is you get enough people paying Prepaid Legal $35 a month, it adds up. And they're able to pay that Smart Law Firm. What does a Smart Law Firm make, would you say, a month? $150,000? Yeah. Sounds good, right? Might be $180,000, $200,000, who knows? You know, We'd have to figure out how many members there are today in the state of Utah, and then divide that and all that kind of stuff. But I would guess it's somewhere between 150 and 200,000. So I think we're safe with 150. That's what they care about. They care that they're making $150,000 a month from prepaid legal. I like to say that, a month, right? That's a lot of money. And quite frankly, if you and I had a law firm and someone was willing to pay us $150,000 a month, you think we'd be willing to jump when they say jump, right? To say how high and to react when they say we want you to do something? You better believe we would. All right. I like this. I told you this earlier. You can't sell dummy. You can't sell broke. Now, I'll tell you, some people are just, no matter what you say, going to buy this membership, and you got to realize that's okay, right? You can't sell dumb and you can't sell broke. What I mean by that is if they're not bright enough to see the value in our plan, it's okay. You don't have to worry about that. If they're just too broke that they can't handle $35 a month, that is not your fault. And you may want to recruit that person and give them an opportunity for income, but some people aren't bright enough to see that either. It's okay. I mean, I've always said, thank goodness that not everybody joins prepaid legal, right? Like when you say, hey, you want to join this, thank goodness some people say no. Because you realize how disastrous it would be if everybody said yes? I mean, seriously, if no one said no, that'd be terrible. You know, I would show up to dinner tonight and there would be no waitresses, no waiters, right? We'd say, well, where'd they all go? They all joined prepaid. You know, like, I'm serious. I'd want to fly home and we'd say, hey, I'm ready to take my flight. Where's the pilots? Well, he done joined prepaid. He's a ring earner now, And, well, who's going to fly the plane? We don't have anybody, We don't have any stewardess. I want to get my peanuts. Anything. I'm going to be terrible, guys. Thank goodness some people say no. Thank goodness this is not for everyone, right? I like the reason we have the pitcher of water there. I use the example of waitress sometimes when she comes to your table at dinner and she offers everybody at the table water. Have you ever seen a waitress do that? She'll come with that pitcher of water and she'll say, who wants water? Who wants water? And she'll kind of go around the table and some people say yes and some people say no. There's some good lessons that you can learn from that waitress that's offering water. Number one, she's only looking for yeses, right? If someone says no, it's okay. They don't spend time on that. Number two, they don't take it personally. Like if I say, Ryan, would you like some water? And Ryan says no. I don't think that he's saying no to me, right? Like, if I'm the waitress, I don't say, I can't believe he did not want my water, Can you imagine if waitresses did that? They're all in the back crying and stuff. That guy said no to my water, And what's wrong, Betsy? I can't do this anymore. Think about if they took it personally. That'd be terrible. Here's another lesson that you get from the waitress. When they say no, they don't try to convince them, right? Like, if I offer Ryan water, no, I'm okay. No, sir, I don't think you understand. This is, really good water, okay? It's purified, it comes from our tap in the back, This is Utah water, they don't sit there and try to... Some of y'all are doing that. People are telling you, I'm not interested. And you're saying, no, you didn't get what I'm saying then, right? You're trying to... And I'm telling you, I learned very early in my business, professionals sort while amateurs convince, right? Sorting means you find some that are interested, you find some that are not. All your job is to find out where they are. And to find out if they're interested, I've kind of learned poke them and see if they bleed, right? So in other words, you give them some information, you see how they feel. It's not poke them until they bleed. You don't give them more and more, more information until finally you just say, leave me alone. So anyway, overcoming objections. Number four is activity. And I've always said, what we do, success in this business, is 80% activity, 20% skill. That's really what it is. 80% activity, 20%. In other words, it's not 100% activity. And it's like I said earlier, at some point you got to get better at what we do. You don't plan on being here for 5 or 10 years and never learning how to do a presentation, never learning how to fill out a membership form and things like that. You got to learn some of that stuff. And that's why you come to trainings. That's why you go to events. That's why you show up at Fast Start trainings and APTs and Super Saturdays and briefings. You hear the message over and over and over again, and you tend to get a little bit better when you do that. But it's 80% activity. I like this phrase, 2/3 of promotion is motion. And that's true. Look at it. 2/3 of the word promotion is motion. In other words, if you want to get promoted in this business, you got to get busy. You got to get out there. Some people say, I don't know how to do what I'm doing. I don't know how to do. I don't know how to make a prison. I don't know how to go out and talk to people. I don't know how to hand out a DVD. Well, let me tell you this, something right now. The best way to learn how to do this business is to do this business. So you want to get better at handing out DVDs? You want to get smoother at that? Go hand out a bunch of DVDs. Right? If you want to get better at doing membership presentations, you know how you do it? You do a lot of membership presentations. See, I bet you right now Deanne DeBell could do a fantastic membership presentation. You know why? She's done a lot of membership presentations. Was your first one very good, Deanne? No, of course it wasn't. There's not a person sitting in this room. Mark, was your first membership presentation any good? Yeah, I was right. He said, I wouldn't have bought it listening to my first membership presentation. Yo, nobody did. Nobody was good when they first started. You got to be bad before you can be good. You know that. But how you get good is by doing, is by going out and doing it over and over and over again. You practice, and practice makes perfect. So get out there. Don't be afraid to get out and talk to people. No one is going to break into your home and steal a membership. That will not happen to you. Okay? I'm serious. We're in a home-based business, not a home-bound business. It's okay to get out and go talk to people once in a while. That's important to do. Focus on activity. Let me move on here. One question that people ask is, where do I go? So let me give you some tips on this. I like to use a 3-foot rule. In other words, everybody within 3 feet of you needs to hear about this membership. Okay, that's a pretty simple rule. In other words, people are everywhere, right? We'll talk about that in a second. By the way, there's also the 5-foot rule, which is move 2 feet closer and then apply the 3-foot rule, right? So that's a good one. One thing that we got to work on better is getting referrals. You know, asking people, who else can I talk to? Who's the gentleman in Florida, the principal? What is it? Chip Humphreys. Yeah, Chip Humphreys that talks about this. Chip Humphreys is making $100,000 a year as a principal. He's still working full time as a principal, part time in this business. Individual memberships, and he's selling, I believe, 50 individual memberships a month. You might correct me if I'm wrong on that, but it might be higher, but I believe it's 50 memberships a month, and he does not write group business. He does not go in, what that means, he doesn't go into companies and offer this as an employee benefit. We had Chip Humphrey speak on a call a few weeks ago, and I'm telling you, it was powerful. He talked about getting referrals, asking people, who else can I talk to? And here's a tip for you. When you are getting referrals, take out your pen and write them down. See, I'll tell you what, no one ever told me that. But I'm telling you that one of the best compliments that you can give somebody is when they're telling you something, say, hold on, let me write this down. That's a great compliment. It makes them feel good. I was sitting with two of my associates, and we were actually in a business, and the business owner was giving us referrals. And he was giving us other businesses to go talk to. And that's kind of cool because people know other people. But business owners know other business owners. So he was telling us, go talk to this business and this business. And I was there with my two associates, and would you believe none of us took out a pen and started writing them down. And you know what happens when you don't write them down? They stop at 3. They'll never give you more than 3. If you take out a pen and write them down, they'll give you a laundry list. But if you don't write them down, you know what they say in their mind? Subconsciously, they say they don't care. Or they say they're not going to remember these. And so they stop at 3, and they never give you more. So when someone starts giving you referrals, take out your pen and write those down. And you'll be amazed. You start writing them down, they'll give you more and more and more and more. If you and I got better at doing that, we wouldn't have to go out and try to find new people. We'd always be talking to referrals. Don't be afraid to talk to people that you know. You know, we talk a lot about that. We call that your warm market, people that you know. Who's been recently married or divorced? Who has teenage drivers? Who owns a business? Those are people that you would naturally approach about this membership. All right, I'll go back. Give you a second to write these down. This whole PowerPoint I've got printed out in the back and copies for everybody. So I'm just kidding. Everybody's like, are you serious? All right. I'm going to move forward here because I've got to close up here. We got to, number 5, I think, get a little more passionate about our membership. Okay, good. And I'll tell you, I talked about this in the beginning, the belief that we have. Sometimes you got to get a little more passionate, not just about this membership, but about what you're really doing here. Can I talk to you heart to heart for a second? You know, every one of us signed an associate agreement at some point and a membership form at some point for some reason. And sometimes I'm afraid that we get so caught up in the world of prepaid legal that we forget why we even started this whole thing. And sometimes you got to get back to that. You got to get back to why you're even here. And you got to get passionate about that. You got to get passionate about what you can do in your life. One of my favorite quotes from Napoleon Hill is, "Whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve." What that means is whatever you and I can really see in our minds, it can become reality. Now, I want to close by showing you a few video clips, okay, if that's okay with you. And this is from one of my guilty pleasure movies, The Matrix, okay? And I don't know if any of you have seen The Matrix. I hope you have. And I'm going to show you some clips here that I think apply to our business and what we do. And I'm going to show you and maybe explain a little bit in between. But we're going to start here talking about The Matrix. And this first clip is Neo, right? Mr. Anderson. That's the Keanu Reeves, the main character. And he's being trained, okay? He's been to Fast Start School and he's done kind of the first parts, but here's the point where the rubber actually meets the road, where he gets out to doing his own PBR, his own presentation or whatever. And he's got a good trainer, Morpheus, right? Who's Lawrence Fishburne, is that who it is? Lawrence Fishburne, Morpheus, who's his trainer. But I want you to pay attention to what Neo learns in this scene here. You ready? The Matrix.
What are you waiting for? You're faster than this. Don't think you are. Know you are.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Trying to do? I'm trying to free your mind, Neo. But I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it. Tank, load the jump program. You have to let it all go, Neo. Fear, doubt, disbelief. Free your mind. Whoa. Okie dokie. Free my mind.
But what if he makes it?
No one's ever made the first jump.
If he does,
he won't.
Come on.
Right. No problem. Free my mind. Free my mind. No problem. Right.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
Everybody falls the first time.
Now, we're not done on that because I got more. But if nothing else, I just like to watch The Matrix, so I'll make y'all sit through it. But a couple things. Number one, I like what Morpheus said. He said, you got to let it all go. Fear, doubt, and disbelief. I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of y'all are holding on to some fear. Some of y'all are holding on to some of those doubts. And you got to let go of that stuff. If you want to be successful in life, let alone this business, you got to let go of that kind of stuff. You got to get rid of those negative emotions. And I like this example because, you know, you see him jump and you see him fall. And I like the end there. The guy says, everybody falls the first time. Y'all, you and I are going to be in those moments too. And it might be your first time that you actually conduct a PBR, or the first time that you actually do a presentation. You're going to be in a moment where you're going to be scared. And it's okay. Remember, everybody falls their first time. It's okay if you don't do your best job. That's okay. You also got to remember that it's never as bad as it seems. See, it looks like he's falling the cement, but then what happens? It becomes rubber, right? And he comes in and he gets a little blood on his mouth. That's okay. You'll stub your toe once in a while. You're going to get a little rejection once in a while. That's okay. It's never as bad as it seems. I guarantee you, you will never do a presentation to someone that's going to stop you halfway and call 911 and say, this guy has just got to go to jail because he's just so bad, right? It's not going to happen like that. Let me move on into this next clip that I thought was good. It talks about the system that we're in.
Is a system, Neil. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo?
Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
I was...
Look again.
Who's it? This isn't the Matrix.
No. It's another training program designed to teach you one thing. If you are not one of us, you are one of them.
What are they?
Sentient programs. They can move in and out of any software still hardwired to their system. That means that anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone, and they are no one. We have survived by hiding from them, by running from them. But they are the gatekeepers. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neil. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
I've seen an agent punch through a concrete wall. Men have emptied entire clips at them and hit nothing but air. Yet their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
Some of y'all know where it's going, right? Let me talk for a second about the system that you and I are in. Because I'll tell you, there's some great parallels from the Matrix into where we are today. The system that you and I are in is a system that says that the people who do what they do in prepaid legal probably shouldn't do it, right? That a guy like Dave Hall with no high school shouldn't be making a couple hundred grand a year. That a guy like a Mark Riches or a Darnell Self with very limited background shouldn't be able to come in to this type of business and make the money that they're making. I remember when my brother had his first month where he made $20,000 in a month. And he called my dad, and he was so excited. And he said, Dad, I made over $20,000 last month. My dad's answer was, Mark, be careful. Right? Here's why. In his mind, if you were making $20,000 a month, you could probably go to prison. You know? And that's the system that we live in. And I'm telling you, you got to realize, just like in what they said, there are people that you wouldn't think would be an enemy to your dream, but who are an enemy. Some of the people who might even be closest to you might be keeping you from you. And here's what you got to do. It's not that you got to, you know, some people you can't change, right? And I like what Darnell Self says. Is you can't change the people around you. You got to change the people around you sometimes. Some people you can't. Sometimes it's a spouse. I'm not saying go get divorced. I'm saying you got to limit what you're listening to on that. You got to get to events like this where you have a positive influence. And if you do that enough, you're going to reach a point where you think you're ready to take on the world. And that takes us to our third clip. Here we go.
Mr. Anderson.
What is he doing?
He's beginning to believe.
So jot this one down in your notes. Just because you think you're ready to take on the world doesn't mean that you are, right? And I say that. There's sometimes we get that a little bit in this business. We get, you know, folks that are, you know, they might get to executive director or something like that. They come to briefings and all of a sudden, man, people are just like exclaiming their name as glorious and all this kind of stuff. And they start thinking, I don't have to plug in anymore. I don't have to do activity anymore. And I'm telling you, you got to be careful sometimes, right? Sometimes you think you're there, but you're really not there yet. You got to keep on pushing. You got to keep on going. But here's what's amazing. If you do, you can be amazed at what happens. Let's roll our final clip here.
Fire escape at the end of the alley, 303.
There we go. Well, guys, I've gone past 2 o'clock. Let me close by saying this with these clips here. I think there's some lessons here. See, if you stay in the game long enough, you're going to get to a point where you just it comes easy to you. See, guys here on the front row, they don't have to worry or sweat about doing a presentation. It comes easy to them. They've done so many. And all of a sudden, some of those things that used to be hard, it's like no problem. It's like, you know, that agent that beat him up in the beginning, it can fight him with one hand. It doesn't even matter anymore. Some of the things that you hear a new person say, where do I go to find membership? You know, where do I go? It's like you go everywhere. They're everywhere. You see it for like it really is, you know. And it's kind of like he saw the Matrix for what it is. You see this business for what it really is, which is an opportunity to change your life. So I hope that's helpful. Okay? Hey, TCU up 7-0 on Utah. BYU down 17-10 in the second quarter. God bless you. Have a great day.
There were plenty of people peeking at their phones to see what the score is. We know what the score is. Speaking of the score, the fact still remains. The fact still remains. Right there. The fact still remains that since the last meeting, BYU still has bragging rights. Back to back. So y'all can talk about the hype in the future, but the fact is, scoreboard at this point. So thank you again, you guys, for coming out. This is my Christian. All right, guys. Next month, mark it down on your calendars, December 4th. December 4th. Open that up. You guys know from previous APTs that the state of Utah has a law against attorneys here in the state of Utah soliciting. You guys understand that? And therefore, attorneys cannot come and solicit. So we cannot have them here in the state of Utah doing our business briefings or Super Saturdays. They can come to an advanced product training, and Ms. Foster does a very good job every year, every quarter, of having one of the attorneys come out and talk to you, but that is for current members only. There's no guests allowed in the room, and we could get in a lot of trouble if we had guests in the room for that event. And so we need to make sure that for those events there's only current active associates with memberships in the room. That being said, there's an attorney that has been with Prepaid Legal for many, many years and is licensed to practice law at the United States Supreme Court. And you guys, if you understand how prestigious that is, very, very few attorneys ever are allowed to actually practice at the Supreme Court level. And this gentleman's been on a lot of our company videos. In fact, do we have a clip of him that we can show real quick off of one of our corporate videos? It might be just a real short snippet
of the justice system.
The thing I like most about being a provider attorney is helping people. When I became a lawyer, my ambition was to be in a field where I would help people. And Prepaid Legal Services meets that tremendously. Interacting with people, helping people, when people have a particular legal need that I can be a benefit for them. I really enjoy the opportunity to be able to make a difference in their life to provide them the legal representation that they need.
I'm thankful.
Sam, okay, there it is. You might not know his name. You've seen him on The Attorneys. It's Mr. Melvin Hall. Melvin Hall. He spoke at a lot of our conventions. He's on a lot of our videos. And he's from the state of Oklahoma. Very familiar with Mr. Stone Cipher and the provider law firms and stuff out there. You guys, it's very seldom that you get an attorney of this stature. I was going to read his bio that I have, but I mean, it's like a few pages of what this guy has accomplished in the legal field. I mean, it was nice last month to have, you know, Mr. Mark Shurtleff here, and hopefully you got some good value out of this. This is an attorney that, you know, goes and argues at the United States Supreme Court level. Absolutely amazing individual. December 4th, we're going to have him here to do our Super Saturday, and it's going to blow your mind. He's never, ever, ever been here before. This is the first time in the 38 years that Prebaid Legal has been in business that we've ever had this gentleman come out here. So you're going to want to make sure you get your tickets for this event. You can not only get your tickets out there today, $20, but anyone that's interested in getting 5 tickets, you'll get them for the price of 4. So you'll actually get one extra ticket. And if you guys think about it, with this new recruiting window,